on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
It's the best, hands down.
It's crystal clear.
I love it. The things you can make are awesome.
No one else has quality epoxy like this.
It's easy to mix.
Tim is such a wealth of knowledge.
It's gotta be iCoat.
Welcome to the Resin Mastery Podcast, exploring iCoat epoxy.
Alrighty, guys, welcome back to Resin Mastery Exploring iCoat Epoxy. It is me, Rachel, with my co-host, Ian. How are you
doing? Hey, Rachel. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Life is good. We're going to be doing an interview today, but it's a little bit different from the previous ones because I'm actually going to be interviewing you today. So
yes.
Are you up for that?
I am, and it's going to be a interesting trip down memory lane to one of the first times I actually started using epoxy to do something. So, yeah, really looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too. I love a good story of the first time people are using epoxy because it's usually the determining factor if they're going to do it again. So let's just, you know, kind of rewind and step back in time and kind of go over the reason why you even started this project in the first place.
Hey, you know, you said something really interesting there, which is about the first time people try something, because I think you're right. I think what discourages people with anything, it's not just working with resin, is if you don't know what you're doing, whether it's woodwork or arts and crafts or painting, and something turns out bad, you just have that moment of thinking to yourself, well, maybe I'm just not good at this, or maybe this isn't for me. But yet it wasn't something that was done correctly. You know, there's something really powerful, Rachel, about doing something that one you want to do, you enjoy, and doing it correctly.
Mm. Yes, 100%. Because oftentimes for me personally, I'm the kind of person that's like, if I don't do it correctly, maybe I won't enjoy it.
No, true, right?
I'm a bit of a perfectionist. So let me ask, did the first time that you used epoxy, what was the reason? And would you say that it was a seamless experience for you?
No, well, I'll even take you back a little further. So, you know, this is going back maybe 10 years or so. It was around Mother's Day, which we've actually just had this year. And, you know, I thought to myself, you know, because I'm terrible at gift giving, right? So I thought, you know, what can I do for my wife to show her something special? Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what I can do is I'll take a really cool photo of the two of us and encase it in a coaster. And then she'll have a keepsake that she always remembers. If I buy her flowers or buy her something that she ends up wearing, gets rid of, doesn't remember. So I thought, okay, this could be a really neat thing. And I thought, how hard can it be? So I bought myself some epoxy. I found the photo. I had a mold. I cut these things to size. And I thought, okay, this will be my gift. I'm going to have this really, really cool photo in a photo mold. In a coaster mold, sorry. And this will be something she'll have around forever.
Yeah. And she can use like daily too.
Yeah. So, you know, you had a couple of questions there. Did I answer both of them or none of them? It's,
the second part to my question was it a seamless experience for you personally as somebody who was, you know, going through the process? And then after that, just general question, we'll kind of go into why or why not.
Yeah, you know, and I'll say it wasn't the first time around, because I'm the sort of person, I have a bit of a character flaw where I just believe I'll be able to pick it up and do it. You know, I'm like a typical man. I don't follow instructions well, right? It's like, oh, I don't need them. And then we've got pieces left over. So I thought, you know, you just mix A and B, one-to-one, pour it in, walk away, grab a drink, chill, come back, it's done, thank you very much, right?
But yeah,
all these things in there. And I think when we think about it, Rachel, in a couple of the interviews we've done with Anne, with Olivia, with Rachel, and even with Tina, one of the things that really stood out to me in all those interviews was the nuances, the little things that they learned with what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not the big things, the little things that they learn. And I think that's where this got really exciting for me as a retrospective in what I learned. Because, yeah, I just initially just, I say, whacked it all together, put it in the mold, and came back later. And what I got wasn't terrible at all. It wasn't even bad. It was actually good, and my wife really appreciates it. But and she still got it. And that's that's the key to it. It's still pretty darn clear.
Yeah.
But you know, I learned so much from that experience that in times after that, I've done so much better in my resin work that I just said to myself, I need to spread the word on this, because I think this is what turns a lot of people off. So yeah, I want to talk with you through what I learned and how I learned. So let's think of it like this, right? The very first time people do it, they really could probably do what I did. They just get it, mix it, pour it, walk away.
Mm-hmm.
But as we know, like from everything, like what temperature do you pour it at? What's the humidity in the room?
Yeah.
Do you use craft paper to make sure you don't spill it over carpets and floors? Do you wear eye protection? You know, yes. I was actually watching something on Facebook today, and actually the lady doing it, no eye protection whatsoever.
Oof.
Yeah, right. All you need is one little drop that goes up into your eye, right? And that's not the sort of thing you want to be messing around with, which is kind of surprising. But hey, you know, that's up to each individual with their. We recommend what we recommend. They do what they do. So, you know, so where would you like me to start? Do you want me to go through what I learned and then we can talk it through? Or do you want me to talk you through, I don't know, the process, or what would you like?
So, you know, I think you did an excellent job. Thank you. I just want to take a moment to say, like, thank you so much for saying what you have so far, just because I know that somebody like myself, who also, I may not be a man, but I do kind of have that, that I can do anything attitude until I realize I can't, and it's right. New, and that I'm not just going to pick it up and be perfect at it. And so I think that is just extremely helpful for anybody in our fan base and the audience today who has maybe picked it up once or twice and been like, oh, like for me, that's a failure because it wasn't perfect. But now seeing, okay, well, it's not quite that. It's just, there's a learning curve to anything good in this world. There's always going to be some essence of a learning curve, in my opinion. So I guess from here, if you want to kind of just go through like exactly what you learned, and then we'll kind of break that down and talk over like how those things could have been avoided. I think that would be a good place to go from here.
Okay. Yeah, that's great then. Yeah. Cause it's all about improvement, right? And when we see people who are amazing at this, like, you know, Blossom and Rhyme, they do real high-end flower preservation, and flower preservation is not easy. It's something you first time around, no way would I try that, because there's so many nuances to it. But I'll go through my list, right? So the key lessons I picked up were, you've got to invest in high quality molds. Because I think it's a case of all silicone is not the same.
Yeah.
Right. Some of them are real high quality. Some of them are low. Some release really well. Some of them don't. There's even like, you know, certain people who love mold release spray first, so they spray that in. Other people don't like it because they say it has an effect on the bottom end of the molds, but. what I had in, and you think of a coaster, right? So the molds that I used, they didn't have a real solid flat base. They were kind of flimsy and thin. Mm-hmm. So when the coaster came out, it was a little uneven on the bottom because the coaster was, it's the mold. That was the problem. If you bought a more rigid base on a mold made out of better quality, higher quality silicone, I think you would get that really smooth base. Well, I know you would. You get that really smooth base. It would be a level surface. And I think that's essential if you're actually going to use these rather than just a round piece of epoxy with a picture in it.
Yeah.
As an actual coaster. So that was lesson number one. And I'm not going to sit here and say, Rachel, here's five places you should get your molds from, because I think it, like any industry, they're always evolving and everyone has places they go to for pricing, quality, customer service, everything else. So, yeah. But number one, I'd say would be the molds.
That's really interesting, because I think when it comes to like cooking, I've used molds for things. Yeah, I do notice that like the cheaper ones, they're flimsy, they don't lay as flat. And I don't know, I just never thought about that before you just brought it up. I was like, yeah, all silicone molds are not created equal. So that's a good point. And let me ask you, if just for the people out there who may already have molds like that, but don't have the ability to order more at the moment, do you think that that issue could also be solved with possibly weighing down the mold or like taping it down?
No, it's not about weighing it down. It's just that the bottom, the base of the mold being very supple and flexible just doesn't create a hard, flat surface. I think you need, especially on a coaster, a thicker bottom to it. Thick enough to keep it flat, but also flexible enough that you can release the mold. Another thing I learned, right, with the mold was about pouring in stages, because you don't have to pour the whole thing at once. And, you know, what I found is that when I actually released it from the mold, there was a hole that I'd missed at the back. And I remember this vividly thinking back. I thought, yeah, I remember that, because it was easy to fill in with just a bit of a resin after the fact. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it should never have had it in the first place. Right? Okay. So, I think if I look back and did it again, what I would have done is just poured a small, maybe like 2 or 3 millimeter into the base of the mold, into a good solid flat mold first, and left that for maybe about an hour or so just to start curing. Because what that would have given me would have given me a flat bottom, plus it would have given me a something that was starting to cure that I could then put the picture into, where the picture would lay really flat in one level of the mold.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd kind of use it as like a tacky just to get
Correct.
It down.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly, yeah. Right? So it's still gooey enough to get all the air out from under it and secure the photo. But because here's what happens. If you put a photo into just a bunch of resin in a mold, the photo will sort of float and contort a little bit.
Yeah.
Unless you've already tacked it down. So my process would have been maybe 3 or 4 mil of resin on the base. Wait an hour, then put the photo down, right? And then check in as I'm going along that the photo's sticking into that piece of the resin first.
Yeah.
Before I poured anything else in it. Because the other thing is I use glitter in the bottom of it. I want it to sparkle.
Oh, nice. And
the glitter sort of comes around the side onto the top of the photo from that base area. And it ended up looking cool, but I didn't really want that effect on the actual photo. I wanted it under it. And again, that would have been solved if it was at that tacky stage. It wouldn't have reliquified to let that glitter come up, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Huh.
So that would have given me the ability to really control that piece of it. And again, what I ended up with was good, but you know, me, I'm a bit of a perfectionist in that arts piece, and I wanted to make something that looked even better with that.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't think about the fact of, you know, especially if there's glitter in a photo, you want the photo to be clear, but things to be layered on it, not necessarily the glitter to be on the photo.
Come over the sides. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless that's something you wanted, but I didn't want that. So, and then as well, I wanted also to make sure that it was a circular mold, right? So I wanted to make sure that I cut my photo where there was at least a couple of millimeters all around the photo, but that's hard to control unless you tack it into position first.
Yeah, because then you can see, okay, yeah, where is it?
It'll float a little bit, right? Yeah. And you don't want it to float. The other thing I learned in there that was with cheap molds is that they create air bubbles.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and that was a really weird thing because, and people might say, what do you mean? They create air bubbles along the edges. So around the lip, and I think it's just because they're cheap molds that look flat and look uniform, but they create little air crevices because they're cheap. And within that, you know, it was fine afterwards. I was able to just sort of cut them out before it was fully cured. And even torching it with a heat gun, the mold itself, maybe I was too close. And that's the other thing, right, with the heat gun, mm-hmm. is I was maybe a little too close to it and burning a little bit of the silicon along with maybe overheating the epoxy in places as well.
Okay.
There's a real art to torching epoxy to release bubbles. All you're trying to do is add a little bit of warmth to it, not burn it.
Like, yeah, and just kind of waving it over from what I've seen
right,
so
a couple
far.
Of, yeah, right. A couple of inches above it. And I think I was getting a little too close. Mm. None of it was a deal breaker. But it did affect the overall aesthetic of how clear it was to see the photo. Because, as I say, I think if I did it again, that's one of the things that I would definitely do differently.
Yeah.
And since then, you know, I've become better at torching epoxy pieces because you live and learn. And it was great digging back into the memory banks to think, how could I have done that better?
Yeah. Well, and I guess maybe some people might not know that it's just the wave of heat and not the actual flame that needs to treat it.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's not just a given, you know, that is something that's very trial and error, I feel like. And yeah, I have seen many of people burn the epoxy, just like singe the top. It becomes like more
right,
yellow.
And I think if you see it singe and you see it smoke a little bit, you've already burnt it, right? You're too close.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It should really just, because the flame's pretty intense. If you did it to your skin from 6 inches away, you'd be like, I'm burnt. I need to go to a local hospital. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Think about what it's doing to the epoxy from that distance. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really important. So I think the lesson, Rachel, for a lot of people is, you know, you get excited, you go out, you buy your first piece and you rush into something. Then you go, this is not for me.
Mm.
Right. Which I think's sad because you're not giving yourself a fair shot at enjoying the creativity that comes with resin like this.
Yeah.
And I think it would be so much better if people would go into this with the idea of being that they wanted to be really creative. They were going to learn. Like we built our AI bot, which will tell you exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like it tells you everything from how far away you should torch it to what you should use, how to add color, everything, you know, virtue rules from A to B. So
yeah.
There's best practices out there. People need to adhere to them before they dig in. But, you know, I think if I was in a position like to buy my first batch of epoxy and say, I'm going to try flower preservation, I'm doing something that I'm not intending to sell. I'm doing something that I'm intending to do as a practice.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and it's important if you're interested in doing anything creative to, number one, keep in mind there's going to be trial and error. You know, there's going to be things that you will not get even in the first 10 times that you try it, because there's in those first 10 times, you're probably going to realize, oh, there's 10 problems that I
have. And that's where it comes, those nuances come in, right? It's, and that's why, you know, having a community of people you can talk to, again, our AI agent that you could
chat bot
and talk to, it'll give you great responses and great knowledge base information, not just general information, but knowledge base information. And that's what makes it easier to actually be successful at it. But, you know, I'd say to anyone out there who's tried it once and is like, yeah, it didn't work for me, or is looking to try it and listen to this as an idea of like, okay, what did you do wrong and what can I do right? Exactly. Trial and error is the big thing.
It is. And if there's anybody who is struggling with like, I'm so creative, I have all these ideas, but no way to execute them, or I'm not exactly sure like what to do, and you've stumbled across this podcast, I would say to that person, you know, you really should give Epoxy a try. You should give like the Resin Arts a try, because the versatility that comes along with a product like Epoxy is amazing compared to every other thing. Like, there's only so much you can do with paint.
No, there is. Well, and look, I titled this episode From DIY to Wow, Lessons from my Epoxy Resin Art Project, right? Because that's what it can be. It can go from like just having fun to, wow, I can actually make money doing this, or I could sell this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where it is. So, you know, I think it's been a great episode in just teaching people a little bit of my story and an understanding of what it probably is for most people, the typical first time doing something, a bit of the disappointment, a bit of the, what did I do wrong? What can I do better? A bit of that motion. So yeah, it's fun.
Well, thank you for, you know, bringing all of those to the forefront of this conversation for today. I definitely hope that, and I think that it is going to help at least one or two people out there listening with their journey.
I think so too. And look, it's been amazing to see on the analytics, the amount of people who listen to the podcast. It's just fantastic. So until next time, Resin Mastery, Explore and iCode Epoxy, we'll have more fun episodes for you, and we'll start to cover some of the really cool things that are trending in the industry coming up. So until next time, see you again, Rachel.
See you, Ian.